This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. It was an art world rumor that turned out to be true. At a time when most Americans despised abstract art, the U.S. government secretly funded the creation, exhibition, and promotion of works by Jackson Pollock, Willem de Kooning, Mark Rothko, and others. During the 1950s and 60s, the CIA's Propaganda Assets Inventory Division paraded America's creative and intellectual freedom in front of the world, especially Russia, where artists were bound by the government's ideological straitjacket. At its peak, employees joked that the Assets Division was like a Wurlitzer. When it pushed a button, it could hear whichever tune it wanted playing in newspapers, magazines, and public information organizations across the world. Many of those newspapers ran articles under the byline of one Guy Sims Fitch. Matt Novak is editor of Gizmodo's Paleo Future blog. He wanted to find out who this influential and fictional writer was. And Matt Novak, welcome back to Word of Mouth.
Well, thanks for having me.
Who was this Guy Sims Fitch?
We're not sure. And that's what I've been trying to figure out for quite some time now. Guy Sims Fitch was some people will call it a nom de plume, a fictional character invented to spread different information around the world about American economic policy. Guy Sims Fitch wrote, he's a very prolific writer. He wrote in German, he wrote in different countries all around the world, including Australia, Brazil. You can do a search in Australian newspaper archives for Guy Sims Fitch, and you'll get over 2,000 hits. And Guy Sims Fitch was very interested in American economic policy and promoting it abroad. The secret is that Guy Sims Fitch never existed. He was a creation of, as far as we can tell, the United States Information Agency, which existed from the 1950s until the 1990s. It was basically the propaganda arm of the U.S. government.
Wow. So he was an invented persona. Now, it's not a name I recall hearing in the annals of journalism. So you said Germany, Australia, Brazil. Did anyone in America read his opinions?
Not as far as I can tell. This is kind of where it gets interesting is, you know, the United States had very strict laws about producing propaganda for domestic consumption. And there were laws that prohibited agencies like the CIA or even the USIA from doing something like this inside the United States. So Guy Sims Fitch, as far as I can tell, never showed up in an American newspaper. But that doesn't mean that his ideas didn't, because it was widely acknowledged by the 1970s by the CIA that their various disinformation campaigns would leak into the United States. Of course, you know, just the way that global news works, if something's reported somewhere else, it's going to get reported into the United States.
So you wanted to find out more about this fictional character. How'd you set out?
Well, I actually first learned about this character from a sort of obscure book from 2004 called Inventing Public Diplomacy. Judging by the title, I'm sure you can tell it's rather dry, but it was written by a former employee of the USIA, Wilson P. Dizzard Jr., who I actually haven't been able to track down. I'm not sure if he's still with us. So I first, you know, learned about this character almost as an aside in this rather dry book, a fascinating book, but rather dry, of course. And so I filed a Freedom of Information Act request with the CIA, asking if they had information about Guy Sims Fitch in this program, because obviously Guy Sims Fitch was, I'd say, probably not an outlier, but was not an outlier. There were lots of different fake characters out there that were being created. And I filed a Freedom of Information Act request with the CIA. And rather amusingly, they sent me back a letter saying that they were very concerned about the privacy rights of people who wrote under this name, which I found rather amusing because obviously, you know, Guy Sims Fitch is a fictional character. Because, you know, rightly so, the Freedom of Information Act, for those who aren't, you know, familiar with it, has provisions to protect the privacy rights of individuals, and that's a great thing. So, when you request information on someone, the CIA or the FBI or whoever isn't going to just hand over, say, my FBI file to someone else. So, the CIA asked me to prove who was writing under these names, which is what I wanted to learn in the first place, and if they were still alive. So obviously they're toying with me.
Yeah, jerking you around, I was gonna say.
Yes, jerking me around, and I'm going to be appealing this result, obviously, to my request.
So the burden of proof is on you to verify that those who wrote under the assumed name are actually dead, or you need to get permission. But who did actually write as Guy Sims Fitch? Were you able to figure that out?
No, I have a couple of interesting leads that I need to follow up on. Ever since I wrote the article, there have been other former employees of the USIA who have contacted me and said, hey, I think it could have been this person and that person. And they've also provided me with other fake names that people were writing under. So I have a lot of work to do to continue following up on this story.
Boy, I mean, Edward R. Murrow, one of the most esteemed journalists in American history, he was head of USIA at this time. This is not somebody we think of as a propagandist.
Right. And he actually, there's a rather famous quote of him saying that I don't mind being called a propagandist so long as that propaganda is based on the truth, which is something that Edward R. Murrow said in 1962. It's kind of this strange part of his career that we forget about, or, most Americans never even knew about, because it was right at the end of his life and it was just for a couple of years that he was head of the USIA, which from a Cold War perspective, was an agency that was doing great work. They were trying to spread the message of freedom around the world on behalf of the United States against their Cold War adversary, the Soviet Union. But some of their techniques were less than truthful, let's call it that, such as writing under assumed names. And part of what interests me about this story so much, the Guy Sims Fitch story, is why they would have a fake person, why they would invent a fake person to write these things that obviously other people believed. That's sort of what fascinates me most about this, is that if you're going to publish the ideas of Guy Sims Fitch, which were fairly mainstream when it comes to sort of American economic policy, why create a fake person? And why do it in such a way that it could be exposed as being seen as lies? That's the part that interests me, and I think that it's the part that maybe collides with sort of a certain naivete about global culture and, even people who are working on the world stage at the time not truly appreciating how quickly news can get around the world.
Well, Matt, best of luck on your investigation.
Oh, thanks, Virginia. I appreciate it.
And at least you've given me a Halloween costume idea. You could be Guy Sims Fitch and dress up as just about anybody.
That's a great idea.
Matt Novak, he is editor of Gizmodo's Paleo Future blog. You can follow his search for Guy Sims Fitch for yourself. There's a link at wordofmouthradio.org.